I tell you, one advantage of sitting on the front row is you get all the music coming in and around you, and it's a great blessing when you're able to sit and listen to the music that y'all put forth tonight. I'd like to express my appreciation for being here. It's been a great blessing for me, and it's good to see each and every one of you out tonight. And tonight I would like to start by looking back and thinking back just for a moment of when we planned trips. We'd have to dig out the maps and we'd plan which trip we wanted and which route we wanted to go, whether we wanted to go the scenic route or the direct route. But today you don't even have to do that. There's a little instrument called a GPS. You put in your point of departure and your designation, and it will calculate the best route for you. It'll tell you when to turn. It'll give it to you in tenths of a mile and even down to feet, and then it says turn. So you don't have to go through all that. And it seemed like a wonderful thing, but see, God provided us with a map a long, long time ago that's been as accurate today as it was when He gave it to us. But see, the big difference is we only had one starting point and we only had two possible destinations. And the starting point was that we were all sinners. Each one of us was a sinner, and each one of us had to choose our route, choose where we wanted to go. And of course, the only two destinations was heaven and hell. So we chose Satan, or we chose God, and we chose how we were going to live our life. And I would like to begin tonight by reading in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. And He tells us here the two destinations that we just mentioned. Matthew, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So the Bible teaches us that every man is on a spiritual journey. And we need to make our own choice. We need to decide, where are we going? What do we want to do? Who do we want to serve? What kind of life do we want to live? Does this earth have enough to offer us that we are not wanting to follow God? Are we willing to indulge ourselves in the pleasure of this world to the point that we don't have a home in heaven with God when our time here is over? And it simply boils down to a point of choosing God or choosing Satan. Because as I said, we all started at the same place. We all started as sinners. And one way, as we read, is a straight or narrow way which leads to life and life eternal. Leads to a home in heaven with God, which is what we all have our hopes pinned upon. And the other is the wide or broad way which leads to death and destruction. And as I said, I believe it was this morning, it seems to be a no-brainer. We would think that everyone would want to seek out God and to serve Him in the life, in our life, and to do His will in all things. But that's definitely not the way the world goes. And Jesus tells us, enter ye in at the straight gate. And then He gives us the reason why we should, because it gives life eternal. And then He says something that's somewhat amazing to some people. It astonishes some people, because He says, few there be that find it. So He's telling us that most of us, or most people, are not going to go there. And if they don't find it, and we know then that they're entering the broad way and not the straight way. But this is a very difficult concept for many. Because as I mentioned, Many, many people think, my God is love. My God won't send me to hell. My God wants me to be happy. My God wants me to be happy here on earth. And my God will take care of me when my time for death comes, and that I will have heaven with Him. And I think the true thing is that very few believe that there's going to be few. Because I think ever how few is, we count ourselves in that number. Ever how few it is, we think we're one of the ones that's going to go to heaven, and we think that we are in the right relationship with God. And of course, we also count on a loving and forgiving God. Because when we sin, when we come short, we go to Him in prayer, we know that we're forgiven, and we once again are on the road to the straight gate. But what if we had to leave tonight? What if the gates were open and we were going to go into one? Would we be ready? Would we be confident? Would we go up to the straight gate knowing that our name was there, knowing that they were waiting, knowing that we would be allowed in? Or would they be some cloud of a sin, some cloud of a weakness, some cloud of something that we said to someone that we've not asked forgiveness for, something that we've done to someone that we've not sought forgiveness for, or something that we've done that perhaps only we and God know about, and we have not sought His forgiveness? Would we be ready and eager to go if today was today? Well, I want us to look tonight why it says that there's so few that will enter in at the straight gate. But first, let's look at the fact that it's not because we can't know the way. It's not because we don't know the way. Because God has provided us with all that we possibly need to find the way to the straight gate. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, he makes it clear that we should know the way to follow and to obey God and then to have the entrance into heaven. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So God has given us all that pertains to life and godliness. He's given us the way, and the only way that we can enter in at the straight gate. Now, we have a loving God. So can you imagine Him sending His Son to die on the cross, and then that Son ascend into heaven and prepare a mansion for us, and then not tell us how to get there? Just leave us down here struggling on our own to try to figure out how we are to assess that mansion which He has built for us. But of course, God tells us everything that we should do, every way that we should go. And He tells us that there's only one person that we can follow, and that's Jesus Christ. And there's only one book that we can follow, and that's the Bible. And that we need to strive in our lives to have a love of God at all times. And as we discussed this morning, we are to have a love of the brotherhood of the church, and we are to live in obedience to God's Word. But see, He's told us all this. He's given it to us in the Bible, so we can't say, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know why that I'm having difficulty living as I should, because we've been told. And when we make a wrong turn, and we will, then we can always come back to God in prayer and receive forgiveness and once again be on the correct path. And if we don't make it, there's no place to place the blame except on yourself and except on me. because the choice is ours, the decision is ours, the diligence that needs to be put into the effort is ours. So we can't even blame Satan. And we certainly can't blame our wives. And sometimes I seem like I try to blame my wife for everything, but I can't blame her for my going to the wrong place. It'd be my fault and my fault only. Now, I believe the overriding reason that there are going to be few that enter in at the straight gate is because man wants to live a carnal life, but he wants to die a righteous death. He wants to enjoy all the things of this world. He wants to satisfy his lust. He wants to satisfy his pleasures. He wants to partake all the things that are so appealing in this world. But yet, when it comes time to cross over, he wants to die a righteous death. And that's just not the way it works. That's not the way God plans it. And that's not the way that we will find ourselves entering in at the straight gate. But that's not what I want to discuss this morning or tonight. I want us to look at 4 points. And I'm sure there are others that you can think of, but I'm going to limit my comments to these 4 points. 1, there are few that enter in because of the prejudice they have toward God's Word through family traditions or practices. There are few that enter in because they are following the majority of the world and they are following false teachers. 3, they are trying to enter in while carrying the world on their back. And 4, and I think this is the one that applies directly to us, some fail to enter in because we do not show them the way. Some fail to enter in because we do not show them a way. Now, the first one that I mentioned was the prejudice towards God's Word or family tradition. Now, many have heard the truth. Many have heard people discuss and try to explain it to them, but because of the prejudice toward the Church of Christ, toward the Word of God, because it doesn't agree with what Mom and Daddy said, they don't want to follow it. They don't want to be a part of it. So they are basing their opinions on the opinions of their parents. And when you try to discuss it, sometimes they close their ears, or as the Scripture said in some chapters, that they stopped their ears. And that's what happens today. People don't want to hear a lot of things about it. When you go to looking to Paul says about the women's role in the church, oh, that don't account today. That world has changed. We need to be updated. We need to be modernized, and we don't have to worry about that because my preacher says that that doesn't apply today. And you want to ask them, well, if you don't believe that part of the Bible, let's just start and go through it and see which other parts you don't believe. Do you believe the part about heaven? Do you believe the part about hell? Because if you don't believe one part, then that means the whole Bible comes under question, and the whole Bible can be false if we're not careful in our own minds. But some are prejudiced because they're families. Let's read in Acts chapter 7, verses 51 through 60. It's a long reading, but I'd like to cover the whole passage, and we'll be reading about the death of Stephen. Acts chapter 7, verse 51 through 60. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom you have now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into the heavens and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses lay down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So now here we see that the Jews were prejudiced against Stephen and prejudiced against what he was saying. And they were following the traditions of their fathers. And their prejudices caused them to close their ears to what he was saying. They did not want to hear Paul, or they did not want to hear Stephen. They did not want to be a part of what Stephen was professing about God and about Jesus Christ. And we saw that they laid their clothes at the feet of Paul, who at that time was called Saul and would later be converted on the road to Damascus by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He came to an understanding of the truth. Now he started at the same place everybody else did. He started out as a sinner. But Jesus Christ saw in him something that he wanted to use, and Jesus Christ, on the road to Damascus, converted Paul. So we can always change our course, and unfortunately we can go from the course that's on the way to the straight gate over to the broad way or the other way around. But Jesus Christ and God is always ready to receive the sinner. And in today's world, many base their religion on their parents' religion. If it's good enough for them, it's good enough for me. But you know, the Jews who rejected Christ could also say the same thing about their parents. The idolaters who did not believe in one God, but in multiple gods, they could have said the same thing about their own parents. And they would all be headed down the wrong way. They would all be headed down the broad way. What we need to say is the Word of God is all I want, and it's sufficient for me. And when all we want is the Word of God, and let that be all sufficient in our life, and let our love of God be the overriding thing that causes every action within our life, then we would be on the true and straight way to the straight gate. Jesus gave us a great deal of insight to the narrow way, the broad way, and the following of traditions. If we look in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. And here he gives us a good idea of what he's talking about. And I think, and I've never looked at this passage of Scripture in this way before, but it really and truly holds a lot of information that I'd never really processed through my mind. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And when it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy last time receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would descendest him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophet, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now this is a wonderful story which Jesus tells. And we can see that even though Lazarus' life here on this earth was miserable, when he died, he went in through the straight gate, he went to the bosom of Abraham. He had lived his life, apparently, we don't know much else about him, but in a way that was pleasing to God. And when he died, he went to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man died, and he entered into torment. And he was reminded of the things in his life. And just think about Lazarus laying at the gate in sores. And here the rich man wore the finest clothes, ate the finest food, and he never gave poor Lazarus any thought whatsoever. But now he wanted Lazarus to help him. He looked up and saw him in the bosom of Abraham, and he wanted him to just dip his finger in water and come and cool his tongue. What a terrible place of torment that must have been, that one drop of water would have made a difference. But that's what he wanted to do. Abraham said, you can't come here and we can't go there. And then he said, well, go tell my brothers, because I don't want them to come to this place of torment. He wanted Abraham to send Lazarus to do this. He wanted them to avoid the torment. He wanted them to change their ways. The rich man couldn't change his ways. He was already in torment. But his five brothers had time and opportunity. And that's what he wanted to convey, is change your ways. Don't come to this place of torment. And it said they won't do it, even if it's someone that has risen from the dead. Because they wouldn't listen to Moses and the prophet, and they're not going to listen to some that had risen from the dead. What about Jesus Christ? He died on the cross. He ascended. He rose. He ascended. He now sits at the right hand of God. We have His Word. We have demonstrations of His love in all that we do. We have His blessings every day. We believe that He exists. But look around us in the world, and how many people will not even believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, will not believe that it's only through Jesus Christ that we will be able to make it into heaven, to make it through the straight gate. So there's nothing different today. So you can think about the most wretched man that you've ever known, that you feel quite certain didn't make it into heaven. Of course, we're not the judge, and we don't know where he's at. But if someone in hell would send word back today through a living person, they wouldn't believe. Because that's what God did. He sent word back through His Son, who had risen from the dead and had the most wonderful message of ever, and people will not listen to Him. And the second point is that because there are many that don't make it into the straight gate because they follow false teachers are the majority. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15, Paul tells us of such. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now even though verse 13 is talking about apostles, it applies to us today, because there are many preachers serving Satan. There are many, perhaps, that don't even realize it. They don't realize that their understanding of the Scriptures is flawed. They don't understand that they are not preaching the true Word of God. But I believe also there are those that understand that they are not teaching the truth, but they're teaching to line their pockets. There are some on Sunday morning, if you look, they're preaching wealth religion. They preach that God wants you to be rich, and all you got to do is send me $25 and God will make you rich. And all they're doing is lining their pockets. So today we have false teachers, just as Paul warned us about, and false apostles. And in Matthew 15, Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, they shall both fall into the ditch. And if we follow a false teacher and believe, then we're both going to end up in hell. And we certainly don't want to follow the majority. If you look back through the Scriptures, you'll see that if we followed the majority, then we would have perished in the flood. If we had followed the majority, we would have died in Sodom and Gomorrah. If we had followed the majority, we would have perished in the wilderness. And if we'd have followed the majority, we'd have been hollering, crucify him, crucify him. Because we would have been wanting the death of Christ, just as the many Jews did that day that Jesus was crucified. And a few comments on the fact that some seem to be trying to enter into the straight way with the world on the back. Here in this world, they have a divided interest. They may have some spiritual side to them, but they also have a heavily weighted worldly side. And you know, sometimes it's almost impossible to divide them. Your work can become so overwhelming for you that you just don't see how you're going to get it all done. And when you try to get it done, then you're leaving the spiritual side undone, not doing what you should for God. So we have to balance our work. We have to balance our desire to provide for our family. And we have to give God of our labors and of our love and of our study. And we can't follow two gods. We can't follow manna and the Lord. We're told this in Matthew 26 and 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And sometimes we fail to understand that, and we put so much effort into our worldly activities that we end up not giving God what we should of our life and of ourselves. But the one that concerns us the most, or should concern us the most, is that there will be some who do not enter the straight way because we have not shown them the way. We have not taken the opportunity to tell our worldly brother, our worldly sister, our cousins, those that we know that don't like the Church of Christ, and there are many of them out there that don't. But I used an example this morning, and I'll use it again tonight, and forgive me. But a few years ago, I attended a training seminar, and an insurance salesman was a guest speaker. And he was a very good speaker, and apparently a very good insurance salesman. But he said, anytime I meet someone new, I don't care if it's in Walmart, I don't care if it's at a service station, I don't care if it's at a motel. If I get into a conversation with them before I'm through with my conversation, I will ask them, are you prepared to die? And then I'll tell them about life insurance. And he said most of them get angry at me. Most of them will walk away from me. Some of them are very curt. Some even curse me. But he said about 1 out of 20 will talk to him and he'll make an insurance sale. Now my question is an insurance commission more important to that man than someone's soul is to us? Do we know whether the 1 in 20 rule applies? Do we know that if we ask 20 people to let us talk about God and about His Word with them, that 1 out of 20 might agree? Or have we not even asked enough to know if it applies or it doesn't apply? There's a song that said, "You never told them about me." And I hope that that's not what I hear when my name is called. Although I realize I fall far short in teaching others as I should. But unless we teach others, they're not ever going to come to a knowledge of the truth, and they're not going to be led to the obedience of the gospel. But think what a powerful force we could be if each of us spoke to 20 people a week and tried to offer to teach them the Word of God and to help them understand the Scripture. Now, we're a fairly small denomination here in the county. The church is not as big as some of the other or some of the denominations. But as a whole, we represent quite a number. And as a whole, we could make a difference in talking to others about God and perhaps increasing the number of those that will enter in at the straight gate. Because I assure you, the Scriptures teach us that God wants every one of us to be saved. And He would be glad, I'm sure, to widen that straight gate to all the people that could be on it could walk in. Because that's what He wants. But it's you and I, through our actions, it's you and I, through our inobedience, it's through you and I not doing what we should do, that the straight gate remains so narrow. In conclusion, there will not be many enter in at the straight gate. Our Lord and Savior tells us that. They are blinded by prejudice against God's Word. They are blinded by the traditions of their family. They blindly follow others, including false teachers. They treasure things of this world too much, and because they have not been shown the way. If there's anyone here tonight who has not made the confession of faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and repented of their sins and been baptized to walk in newness of life and would like to, please come forward as we sing our song of invitation. And if you need the prayers of the service of the church, come forward also.